everybody.
Need a break? Relax. Grab a coffee. And join the conversation with Mariska on Two Sugars.
To have your company this Wednesday afternoon. Well, I know for many of you out there, it's holiday time, which means kids are home. We're trying to kind of, I don't know, go one way and the other and every which way. But hey, why don't you just take 25, sit down, relax, pour yourself a cuppa and join the conversation. You're with Mariska and Irene, listening to Two Sugars on 104.6 Planet FM. Talking about school holidays, I'm still doing assignments. Now, I don't know if I told you, but a while ago I decided to do a certificate in adult education. Adult literacy and numeracy. And so there's a whole theory around how we learn. And I mean, I've been lecturing for years, but I just thought it would be nice to upskill. So, but I'm not such a great student. You know, it's like, may I have an extension, please? Oops, I forgot to put that in, you know, and I'm thinking what I expect from my students, and I'm not really modelling what I kind of say to them.
Well, don't you find too that as you get older, your learning skills sort of fall away? You're more of a teacher than a learner, so you don't, you know, being able to study. I found trying to study, trying to just concentrate on that one thing that I've got to study in the Coast Guard was just really hard to do, really hard.
I find it, well, I suppose it's both sides of the coin there, because also I think as an adult learner, if you are studying something, you want to. It's your choice. You've decided to take that on. So it's more of an interest and a passion to you, you know, rather than when you're at school that you have to study because there it is in front of you. So I think there is a difference there. But you're right. I think we're in our busy lives, we get quite distracted easily. And that's probably what, you know, I've been distracted. I know it's there in the background. But for this particular one, I have to deliver three different learning sessions, but I also need to get both student feedback and peer feedback. And now I'm like, oh crikey, it's due in a few days and I need to organise, because obviously I only see my students on block weekends. It's like, I've got to organise a whole group of students and some peers to come in and do some evaluation.
Well, and that's time consuming though. You have to put a lot of time into getting that sort of lesson out.
Yes. Oh yeah, but it's what I'm teaching anyway, but just creating it into you're right, just even creating it into a 2-hour session. Mm. And then thinking to yourself, which colleagues will I ask? You know? And you're thinking, it doesn't matter.
Oh, you're looking at me.
You know? No, these are fellow lecturers that I have to ask.
Oh,
and
that's
I'm
good.
Kind of thinking, God, which ones do I ask? Are there ones that are going to be kinder than others? Are there ones that maybe don't like the way I teach because, you know, I'm quite creative, you know, and you kind of think, does it really matter?
No.
You've got a colleague.
The feedback will be amazing learning experience, yeah.
Yeah. But it's always it's not intimidating, but it's always sometimes you think with your peers, because you get so comfortable in the way you do things, whatever it is that you do, you get very comfortable in your way and you enjoy it. And yeah, when someone kind of comes in and goes, didn't like that, you kind of think, okay. But yeah, really looking forward to it actually, and having that feedback, because I haven't had feedback from colleagues for quite a while now, and so it'd be quite cool. And students too, honestly, because they have to fill out a particular set of questions that are asked, you know, so they can't just give you any old feedback. But that's going to be a challenge for some of my students, because they come from places where you wouldn't ever question your lecturer, you know, so now they have to try and give me honest feedback, which I hope they can do, you know, rather than, oh, it was really good, you know, because I couldn't, you know, go against my lecturer. So I'm hoping that they have enough confidence to be able to say, well, actually, I like this bit, but this didn't, you know, this bit didn't go well with me.
I'm sure they will. You need to maintain your confidence, and every critique that comes, whether it be good or bad, is taken on board as a wonderful learning experience.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I'm very interested in you saying that about the students. I would have thought in today's world they are allowed to question virtually everything. So is it still the same old where you sit in the lecture room and you listen to the lecturer and you don't challenge anything?
Oh, most of my students are international students. Okay. So they come from very hierarchical learning systems.
Right.
Which is quite different to here, where, yes, we expect you to question. And you know, again, that when I see my students here, they're usually very new to New Zealand. So I'm on a kind of the first couple of papers that they actually do. So they still haven't got into or have the confidence sometimes to question, to give feedback when you ask, because they're still kind of working within that system that they know and trust. And I'm kind of turning their life upside down, if you like, thinking, hey, now I want you to question me, I want you to debate, and which would probably be seen as very, very disrespectful.
So, right, I get that.
Yeah.
And also language things, making sure they got the language correct when they were saying it would hold them back a little bit from saying it until they were 100% positive.
And it does, and it's a real shame because, you know, and I suppose it's easy for us to say this, but just give it a go. You know, I'm not going to be worried if you miss a few words or something, or you're not absolutely perfect in your English. But if I was, I don't know, would I be the same going to another country and learning their language? Would I be hesitant because I didn't quite want to get it wrong? Mm. Yeah, interesting, eh?
And it's interesting how you how just one little word can change the whole. Like, for instance, I had one of my skippers who's become one of my closest friends, darling man, who speaks fluent English, but every now and then, he's a Spanish man, but every now and then he will say something, for instance, he was trying to say to me I was an unusual woman, and instead he said I was a strange woman. So, you know, I mean, it just purely the word that he chose,
a lot of different things.
So it can be really hard for people when English is second, third language.
It's how you respond to that. So, and I can imagine you knew what he meant, but you imagine someone that wasn't as tolerant and took that literally for...
I didn't at the beginning.
Oh, okay. So there you go. Here's someone that you know, and even that, we respond very quickly to it without realising it, and then start thinking it through and going, oh, okay, yeah. I did have someone, when I do my training in the medical world, I think it was a young Irish lady that shared this with me, and she had asked one of her patients to take her pants off, meaning trousers, but they use pants.
Ooh, that would have been a toughie.
Yeah, she kind of walked in and thought, why are you undressed, you know? And so she learned very quickly that we refer to it as trousers here, not pants, and pants are your knickers. Mm. Yeah, or your underwear.
So it's very easy to do. There's funny little things like that.
And so you can see very quickly how misunderstandings happen, where someone doesn't mean, and then someone's left in the dark thinking, God, what do I do? You know, I was maybe trying to compliment this person and they've taken it. Yeah, it's all funny.
Yeah, see, sometimes it's half a day or a day or two or three days down the track and this thing has been playing over in your mind before you click and go, oh, my goodness, I understand what he was trying to say now, you know? So you've already left that impression with that person and gone off, and then you realise, ooh,
and then sometimes,
I wish I could do something about it.
Yeah, yeah, and probably more often than not, we don't have that opportunity to go back and say, hey, remember a couple of days ago when you said this? Is this what you meant, you know? And then you're right, it's left, and there's that kind of awkwardness between two people where there didn't need to be, yeah. Hey, strange lady.
I know. It's so funny. I get so much terminology. She's a lady to strange lady. Terminology on me is fun. Right, so that sounds like you are under pressure big time.
Oh, yeah, but some fun pressure. But just my own silly fault for leaving it so late, you know, as you do. But I know you're under a lot of pressure too, so why don't we just take a break? Because I'm sure everybody else out there is under a load of pressure as well. Let's take a break and just have a wee bit of music, put your feet up and enjoy that cuppa.
Get on. I know you will have a ball if you get down. Fill up my cup, Mazel Tov. Look at her dancing, just take it off. Let's paint the town, we'll shut it down. Let's burn the roof,
and then we'll do it again.
Let's do it, let's do it, let's do it, let's do it, and do it, and do it.
Let's live it up
and do it, and do it, and do it, do it, do it. Let's do it, let's do it, let's do it. Cause I got a feeling, ooh, that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. A feeling. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. A feeling. Tonight's the night.
Hey!
Let's live it up.
Let's live it up.
I got my money.
Hey!
Let's spin it up.
Let's spin it up.
Go out and smash it.
Smash it.
Like on my car.
Like on my car.
Jump out that sofa.
Come on.
Let's kick it off. Fill up my cup.
Drink.
Look at her dancing.
Move it, move it.
Just take it off. Let's paint the town.
Paint the town.
We'll shut it down.
Shut it down.
Let's burn the roof.
And then we'll do it again.
Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
And do it. And do it. Let's live it up. And do it. And do it. And do it. Do it. Do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Do it. Do it. Do it. Here we come. Here we go. We gotta rock. Easy come, easy go. Now we on top. Feel the shot, body rock. Rockin' don't stop. Round and round, up and down. Around the clock. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. Friday, Saturday, Saturday to Sunday. Keep winners. You know what we say, say. Party every day, party every day. And I'm feeling. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good, good night.
Woo-hoo. Yes, well, okay, moving on, because I want to talk about mortgages. I don't know.
Ooh, ouch. What a boring subject, eh?
But I was out at a batch in Algies Bay on the weekend. A girlfriend of mine owns it, and she's really concerned about the way the prices in Auckland are dropping, and so she's thinking of putting the batch on the market. It's there as a money-making thing, tenants renting, Airbnb, whatever.
Is it a batch or a...
It is a batch. It's got the most beautiful view looking out over the bay from the deck. It's a tiny little two-bedroom thing. I think it's about 50 square metres in total. So it's not one of these houses on the beach, which I hate.
Hey, for our South Island cousins out there, we're talking crib here, okay?
Yes.
Batch crib.
Yeah. Or if you really want to be technical with today's language, they're called tiny houses.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I suppose so, yeah.
But that's all they are, they're batches. Tiny houses are batches. Everybody brings up these new words and confuses everybody, and it's nothing new. It's been around for ages. Stick some wheels on it and you got the modern one. But anyway, no, it's a genuine old-fashioned little batch that's been done up, which is really lovely, fabulous, loved it. Tiny, like I said, but only what you need for that sort of environment. So I took a friend of mine out there who's a bank manager, does mortgages and things and whatnot. So he's fairly up there with the market. And he said, no, don't sell. Don't get all scared of what's going on. It might be 10 years before it turns around and you get your money back for it, but you'll always get your money back for it. So, you know, he said, if it was mine, I wouldn't be selling it. So anyway, but that got us all into a conversation while we're out there, and the subject of Simon Bridges saying he didn't want the capital gains tax because it was penalising the normal Kiwi lifestyle, or words to that effect. It was something similar to that. And I just went, hold on a minute, mate. You're really trying to say that you think that owning a home that you're renting to other people, i.e. it's your second or third or fourth home that you've got, and you live in one and you own another one that you're renting to other people and making an income from, is normal Kiwi lifestyle?
Yeah, it isn't in my book.
Yeah, I took a big dislike to that straight away, and it made me realise just how far that young man is from the reality.
Yeah, and you know, I suppose there's a difference between the traditional batch where it was a little cube, you know, cobbled together with a room or whatever, that you would all go as a family together. But you're right, absolutely. In today's world, a batch is a second home that you're renting out that you're making money from. Hmm. So I don't have any trouble with the second home having capital gains tax on it. But that's
I don't
reality.
Either. And yeah. I cannot see why. I think the government wanting to bring capital gains tax in on second, third plus homes, fine. I don't think they should be having it on businesses like they tried to say, and particularly small businesses struggle so hard as
yeah,
it is.
Yeah.
So to have capital gains tax on a business, which is already taxed quite heavily anyway, is stupid. But on the second home plus,
yeah,
there's only a small percentage of New Zealanders that can actually afford that second and third homes.
And you're doing it to make money.
Yeah, and you're only getting taxed on it when you sell it.
Yeah.
So what's the problem?
I really struggle with what. But again, it's the media, isn't it? You know, and that whole capital gains tax has been an argument for years and years. And no, I just think the media puts it in such a spin that then suddenly politicians get scared of it. Oh no, they won't vote for me, so we won't do it. But I don't have a problem with it, because I think anybody that's got a second or third home, not so much talking a batch, a holiday home, but a second and third home that you're making income off, that's why you're doing it, to make income off it, you know?
Quite agree. Mm. And I mean, they could go one step further and say, okay, well, you're allowed your batch, so if it's under $500,000 worth of property or something and you're renting it to cover costs in the seasons when you're not wanting to use it, then it's in a different category sort of thing. But
yeah.
I mean, batches. We walked along the beach there, and you look at these houses that are all shut up. They're obviously only summer houses, and $5-7 million worth of house sitting there.
Like, oh, I know. I'd love to have a batch to just escape away from. We've got a little bit of land that we escape to, and the tent goes up on that. But I just think maybe it is a bit of a dying trend. I don't know, but to have like the family batch, I don't know whether many families have that anymore, whether we can even afford to have that anymore.
Even the tenting doesn't happen very much anymore. The camping grounds have more and more cabins available and less tent sites, because families just find it too difficult to lug everything over there and lug it all back again, you know?
We've all just got a wee bit lazy, haven't we? And it is in the middle of the school holidays, so maybe it's time that you grab that tent while the weather's still good. There's still that sunshine about, that lovely crisp autumn feel. Lug that tent out, dust it off, go and pitch it, and have a wee bit of fun as a family. Well, we'll leave it there, and we'll see you the next time. Wow, when will we see you? The same time, same place, next week.
We can talk about glamping next week.
Awesome.
You've been listening to Two Sugars, brought to you by Delaquo Communication. Delaquo.co.nz.
We speak your language online at planetaudio.org.nz.
Do you like the music of yesteryear? Join me, Albert Chan, Sunday nights from 7:10 for Vinyl Revival, right here on Planet FM. You can also listen online, planetaudio.org.nz/Vinyl Revival.
Our Earth has existed for 45 million centuries, but this one is special. Ours has the planet's future in its hands.
Technology, entertainment, design, and much more. TED Talks brings you inspiring presentations from speakers across the world. healthcare activists, experts and thought leaders.